trust that we had a good time while we were doing that. Let me just sing this song before. You read the scripture. Just a short chorus. El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty one, you are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. You are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me. Simple. El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. You are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me. Can we sing it? El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. You are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me. El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. You are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me. Listen, you know, you have to turn your voice. Amen. You have to stretch it. We Africans, we have a way of singing it. Amen. That's an African rhythm. Amen. So listen, I'm singing it. El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. You are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me. El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. Then you are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me. El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. You are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me. El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. You are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me.
One more time.
El Shaddai, the living one, Adonai, the mighty God. You are the only one I recognize. You have authority over me.
Amen.
Amen.
Do we, is it true?
Amen.
Is it the only one you recognize?
Yes.
Amen.
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 And that will take us to the scripture. I want to talk this afternoon on headship. Headship. That word headship caused a lot of problems back home. When suddenly there was a spiritual coup d'etat, and there was this, you know, in Africa, very well in Nigeria, we've had a lot of military leaders. So you would just be enjoying your sleep, and then about 5 a.m., you know, those who put on the radio, you would just hear, "Hello, Nigerians. This action is a necessity. My name is Lieutenant Colonel so. I have crushed the former government, and now there will be peace." So it continued like that on and on until we became a democratic state. Amen. So spiritually also, we had an announcement one day that there is a leading apostle. Amen. And he made his announcement also like the military dictators and brought all the ministers under his control. It worked for him. Amen. Until the Lord God raised his standard. Amen.
Amen.
So we want to look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. And then also Hebrews chapter 1. You're welcome again to your service. The Lord bless you for your time. Amen. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I press you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. The author is Brother Paul. Amen. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. Reading from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Amen. Let's leave that there first. And cover 1 John chapter 3. You know, the last thing we just raised the question. So I might have read it wrongly, but you have in your own Bibles. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in himself purified himself, in him purified himself, even as he is pure. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Headship. When we look at the scripture, the beginning of the word of God as given to us in paper form, in book form, the first book, Genesis, starts by saying, in the beginning, God. And that's very complex. Amen. In the beginning, God. And you, it left us with a lot of questions back then. God, how you just mentioned in the beginning. And then it's like maybe pushing a vehicle, not driving it. And then after a time we got to understand, oh, we're actually driving the vehicle. But who made the vehicle? So looking at it, this was given to Moses. If that's the statement how Moses had it directly, it was given to him very raw. And then in John chapter 1, we had another kind of light trying to explain that which has been said already. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But when you look at Genesis, it just said in the beginning, God created. So we wouldn't know how it was or what the mechanics was like. And then people started coming up with their ideas. The prophets never talked about this. In fact, the people of Israel never argued at any point in time with their prophets. And I don't know if they actually understood all that the prophet was telling them at different times, but I can tell you that they believed their prophets. And they took their prophets by their word because they were sure that God had sent them. And so it was confirmed here to us that in the days gone by, God spoke to the people of Israel by the prophets. But today, in this particular time, from the last days started when John, when John gave the introduction, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole earth." From that particular time, it was not quite long that there was this confirmation. When the voice came, "Thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. And then another day, when the apostles were with him, the voice repeated itself again. It says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased in. Hear ye him." That is, whatever he will tell you, that is me telling you. Whatever he's going to say is going to be the final authority. Because all things have been committed unto him. And now he has total control. Now, Paul also reminded us that he wants to bring us to remembrance to know that the head of every man is Christ. So check your heads out. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, that will be another complex thing. The head of every man is Christ. You know, you say, yes, the head of every man is Christ. Even Osama and Laden, his head is Christ. Maybe Saddam, maybe Gaddafi today. As far as you are a man, the Bible says every man. Is that not
right?
So you say, the head of every man is Christ. But now, to give us a more clear light, he said, the head of every woman is the man.
Right.
Now when we understand the natural thing, then it will give us an insight into the spiritual thing.
Right.
Now, in Genesis, all that God did, all that God created, when it came to the last thing, he made man in his own image.
Right.
And after making man, he established the institution of marriage. You know that after the marriage, God didn't do another thing. After marriage, when he put up marriage and probably was trying to arrange his wardrobe before he came, the marriage was bad. Amen. That's failed. And so he had been working to correct that. That's why Jesus is coming back as a bridegroom, to pick a bride. Amen. And have that corrected, which the first Adam missed, the last Adam will put him through.
Right.
Amen. So we find out that we must understand this. He said here that the head of every woman is the man. Now, let us consider the head. It is the head that carries the eyes. It is the head that has the ear. It is the head that has the nose. It is the head that has the mouth. You talk about the skin, the head's got skin too. Amen. So it means that the head is the identity of the body. Now, if the head is the identity of the body, is the only thing, for example, if somebody dies on the road, and maybe you, it's somebody that is close to you, and they, maybe the public work people just cut off one of his fingernails, and then they say, can you identify this finger? Amen. Would you be able to identify? You not even know that something has happened. You just say, oh, please, we saw a corpse lying on the road, and then we're asking people to go and check if they can recognize the finger is there on the table. So the most important people pass and identify if that corpse is somebody close, you know. Nobody, there will be no answer, because you are not looking at my fingernails to know, but you recognize the man or a woman by his face or her face.
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So, we find out that if the head of the woman is the man, it means the identity of the woman is her husband.
Yes.
And when she is not married, the identity of that woman is her God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So now, if that is the identity of the body, then we bring it back to the man now. The head of every man is Christ. Now, how will I be identified? How will Christ be my head? It didn't stop there. The head of Christ is God. So, we find out that God is always drawing a straight line in whatever he wants to show us. He does not, things are very clear on this side of the Spirit. John was seeing this vision in Patmos. And then after a time, he said, the voice said to him, come up hither. Then how did he come up? I don't know if you have experienced charismatism. Amen. You know, back there in Africa, the pastor might be praying and say, come on, be in spirit, be in spirit. And then people go, as if they are eating chili. So, be in spirit, could it be that some sensation of chili or whatever? Amen. To be in spirit is to be in tune with the word of God.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So when he said, come up hither, he said, immediately I was in the spirit. Now he was exposed to the reality of the world. And the first thing that caught his attention was that he saw the throne. And it was one throne.
Right.
And he saw who sat on it. It was one.
Right.
There was no lapping. You know what I call lapping? Back at home. Because we have a large population. So when we are into the public transport, the bus, we will carry ourselves, you know, to reduce the cost. So we call that lapping. You stay on my laps. You have to stay on the laps. So we pay for one person. It's true. Amen. So there is no lapping in God. Amen. So the Father is lapping a son, and the Holy Ghost, the dove, is lapping on the other side. No, it's not like that. He said he saw one, and he saw one throne. He saw one figure there. Amen. Now, but this thing about headship, we have to understand. God, in eternity, being the eternal Spirit, Spirit as in Spirit, amen, even in the spiritual eyes, was not seen. Amen. Then, he wanted to reveal himself. Even at that level, when he revealed himself by the spoken word, by the word of God, by the word, that's the, he morphed and presented the word. The word is the visible path of God.
Right.
Yet, it is not physical to us here.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you read in Hebrews, he said that he has spoken
to us in these last days through his Son, by whom he made the worlds. But actually, he did not make the world. The Son was not actually in Son's form when he was making the world. Because sonship is not a heavenly thing. Sonship is an earthly thing. Amen. The word, he was not in Son form. He was in the word form. Because the word had to become flesh for him to be visible to us. Amen. So you see the stage is that it's coming down. The lower it comes, the clearer it becomes.
Right.
So it was not that there was a Son of God in person that he made the world by. No. The word that proceeded from him did not return empty. It was that word that created. And that word that created had been made flesh so that he can see, he can be God, what he owed, what he is.
Right.
Amen. If God, as in God, before Genesis chapter 1, should come into Singapore. Remember, the whole world is in his hand. True?
Right.
Then he wants to come into Singapore alone. Amen. You go into spasm, you bust. In fact, there will be exchange of heads before we finally crash. Some people's head will leave Little India and go to Chinatown and then everybody will crisscross and then everything will melt. Amen.
Right.
But he has to present it in the way that we'll be able to receive it. Even in our ignorance, it is still to the glory of God. Amen. What all things work together for good to them that love him. Praise the Lord. So we find out that this, he was drawing a line showing that God, without being worshipped, we will not say that is God.
Mm-hmm. All right.
In the state as the eternal one, many things running through what is called the mind of God. God wants to, he wants to have a son. Yes. Already, it's like a baby, you know, when I came in, trying to make Junior soon to walk quickly. I said, why are you dragging him? I told the boy, I said, don't walk quickly, relax. Because when you start walking now, you want me to tell you, go and bring this, go and bring that, go and bring that. Relax. Let them do the work first. So, but he has all that it takes inside of him to walk.
Right.
Look at this map, there will be no, maybe one or two seats there, just like that. But he has all, those things are all in there.
Right.
Just waiting for time to manifest.
Right.
So the same thing, he had all that he wanted to be before this side of eternity. On the other side, he wanted to be everything that he is right now to us, but there must be a source by which he will come in. There must be a way out. And so the only way is still by for him to reveal himself.
Right.
And the word of God is the revelation of God.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
The word of God is the revelation of God. But people of God, look, watch this and watch carefully. This word was not Jesus. It was not Jesus, even at that stage.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yet it was Christ, but not Jesus.
Right.
Amen. It was the anointed, not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it had to wait and travel. How did it travel? It traveled, like I said this morning, from Adam. The Bible says, when Adam came to name those things, whatever he called them, God didn't come down to argue about it.
Right.
It was so. Why? He was carrying the seed of the world. So, Adam, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, all of them, they wanted to come face to face with the image of what they were carrying. They were waiting for the manifestation of the Messiah, which will be the Word made in body flesh. So we find it that it is descending, it keeps descending, and the more it comes down, the clearer it becomes to us. Then at the appointed time, the Word was made flesh. But let us watch this. You know, there were certain things I read from Brother Brian in the first time I came in contact with him. What, you know, because it is just when you say the normal Christianity and the revelation of Jesus Christ, they are two ways apart. Mm-hmm. Quite far from each other. Amen. And then Brother Brian said that babies are not alive in the womb of the mother. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Scratching my head. How come? But they complain that some people are playing football in the belly. Amen. And then I read another place, said, oh, those are nerves kicking, nerves. Yes. But he said something that immediately that woman is pregnant, there is some form of an angel or light waiting.
Spirit of light
waiting around. That is, like, when I use the word, I don't know whether this word is grammatically correct, it's an aura. Is it aura? Around. You know, just a kind of being around, waiting for the time. Now we watch something. When the mother of John the Baptist, at 6 months, received the visitation of Mary, you know, when she received the word, it's the same thing the word will do. It's the same thing. It's just the same thing. It's not. There's no magic about it. The moment you find yourself that you are growing cold, you are not talking about the things you should be talking about, you are not kind of showcasing your faith, something is getting wrong. Amen.
Amen.
You need to beat up, because here, you need to beat up, I'm just talking here, you need to beat up, because they said the living water should be flowing down in your belly. You need to revive it.
Yes.
Amen. It means that you are beclouded by the condition of your surroundings, allowing them to weigh you down. That's not the real you. The real you is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So now, when this woman received, Mary received the word, that word picking her, and then she could not stay at home. She decided to go tell somebody what she had received. And listen, she went to tell somebody that will appreciate. So she had not seen Elizabeth. She didn't know that Elizabeth was pregnant too, because being pregnant at old age, she was ashamed, and then she stayed indoor. Amen. So she went out there. When she got there and threw up the salutation, something happened. The two people in the two wombs were seeing each other, and they were closer than the two people who were living.
Right.
Because the Bible says that John had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb.
Right.
When did he receive it? That day. That day. Because the Bible says when the greeting came up and Elizabeth received it, there was a turning. She felt that the child had changed position. Maybe he stood up to raise his hands. Maybe he sat down and prostrated. Whichever way you want to understand it, he actually changed his position.
Right. Okay.
Now, what was that? The aura of the Spirit of Life, they were contacted. They were just doing their work there. And then Elizabeth found the boldness to know that she was not alone in this business of angelic visitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes getting into trouble can be very bad when you are in the trouble alone. But when you have a co-trouble share, it's more easier. Amen. You can receive a revelation and then you don't want to say it out. And then one day you hear somebody say, huh, so you believe that? Thank God I'm not the only one in the boat. So it's easier. So she had received, this was a boost and an encouragement to her, and then she came up. But watch, John had in his mind, as he became a man, growing up from childhood to manhood, he had a picture of what he saw. Amen. Amen. Let me help you. Have you ever been to a place that you are visiting for the first time? And then as you walked around, you kind of have a feeling that it's as if you've been in this place before.
Yes.
But you know that you are there for the first time. Your spirit man was there. Amen. That's why there are people here who are giving us a hard time, not wanting to take the Jesus as their head in this time that is peaceful. We don't believe that they will be lost. But I say that there is a ministry for some people in the tribulation. Amen. I keep saying because it was shown to me. Yes, I saw it. I was praying for somebody, and you know, after I just received the voice, he said, don't worry about him. If he's not ready here, he'll be ready sometime. He said he will take the mark of the beast, but he will be ready to go through it. Why should I wait till that time? Amen. But watch this. 30 years later, after that incident, John was preaching by the river Jordan. He was also baptizing. His message was his baptism was the baptism of repentance. And that gives us a very big question mark. Do you know that there is no repentance without baptism?
Right.
Sure. We have seen, I'm going to give this example now, but just watch this. A preacher is preaching. We've seen many of our television evangelists. And then, wherever you are, touch the TV screen. It's okay. Then the man touches the TV screen. Say after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
I did this, I did it. Now I repent. Now I turn to God. Then he ends with saying, now that you are born again, go to any Bible-believing church. Have you heard that?
Yes.
He didn't. You must obey. Don't go to chemistry or Bible-believing church. Just make sure you go to Bible-believing church. Because if he says go to any Bible-believing church, it means that there is chemistry-believing church. You get that? So go to any Bible-believing church. But remember, he has said, now that you are born again. Is the person born again?
No.
By the Bible, he is not. He has made a decision. It's one thing for you to take a decision, make a decision. But to be born again is a spiritual thing.
Right.
You have to meet up with, in fact, it's not you meeting up, he has to lead you to the way. He told them that repentance and remission of sin must be preached in his name,
yeah,
beginning from Jerusalem. For a witness, beginning from Jerusalem. It started in Jerusalem, it must be preached in his name.
Right.
So, going back to John. 30 years later, John was baptizing, was preaching. Jesus, the man, he knew that John was his second cousin. True. John also knew him. Amen.
Right.
But that had nothing to do with the spirituality we are talking about now.
Right.
Because they never discussed the issue of, do you know that I'm the Messiah to be? Never. Amen. You're going to hear that because John said there was nothing like that.
Right.
Watch this. So, each time he's preaching, maybe Jesus take a stool and stand and watch him. Hello, cousin. How are you? I'm fine. Ask your mom. Oh, she's doing well. He's doing his work. He didn't know him. Because that was not him.
Right.
Amen. The flesh was not him. There is nothing about the flesh until God takes charge.
Right.
So one day, he preached on a Monday, for example. There is one of you standing here that I do not know. It is he that will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the Jews, the Pharisees turn around themselves saying, maybe you.
They pose. You know, let me tell you, if there is a good thing in town, you think somebody will give it to another person?
No. Could be you. Could be you too. Say that back to me. Say, could be you.
And Jesus was among them. The way he appeared, remember, God does not make things in twos. Are you aware? Physically, in appearing, the other fellow took all the beauty. You know who we're talking about. Huh? He took all the beauty. So when this one appeared, there was no form nor comeliness, no beauty that might desire him. So nobody could say, he could be you. No. So he was just there, unknown. Then the next day, that which identified at the time that he was a baby. Do you know why? It had to allow him pass through the man, the life of the stages, so that you would not complain. Whatever you feel, however you feel right now, Jesus felt that way.
Right.
The challenges you are having this now, this moment, Jesus had those challenges. So it got to a time that it was okay, you have been cleared. You've been justified. You've been cleared. Now, make the move. The same aura came again. And then, John was baptizing, as usual. And he saw his cousin coming, a distance. But as he came closer, he didn't see him. Where are they going to? Then he saw this man walking straight into the water. Not waiting for the protocol. You know, they were lining up. He beat the line. Because there was a time for this thing to be. Now, when they say now is the appointed time, we are not looking at the clock. It is when they say now is the appointed time, we are talking about the fake time. So he beat the line, beat everything and moved straight to the water and stood before John. And John was dazzled. I have seen this face somewhere. Not the face of Jesus, the man Jesus, but the face that appeared when he was in the mother's womb, when the mother was visited by Mary. There is a familiarity somehow, but I cannot make it up. Where did I meet this person? Where could it have been? Amen. He was thinking about it. Then, because we are in this body, he said, it was because of this particular man that I was sent to baptize with water. Said, but I knew it not.
Right.
What did he not know? I didn't know he was going to be my cousin. We would have fucked it out since.
Right.
So that separates Jesus from Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he said, now that I've seen you, you baptized me. He said, no, it must be the other way around. It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. The righteousness of God is the word of God put in its proper place.
Right.
Any other thing that you are doing, you are managing, you are thinking this way, you are waiting this way, or you are trying to keep a public relationship with somebody and thinking that, oh, let's not offend ourselves. Offend everybody, let the word of God be in its right place.
Right.
And John held him to fulfill their own righteousness. That is, to allow the word of God to be glorified. He washed him. He baptized him. And brought him up. And immediately there was a sign.
Right.
This is my beloved son. That day, the preparation of the body has ended. Mm-hmm. The body has been accepted. He prepared the body for 30 years.
Right.
And lived in it for 3.5 years. God was on earth with mankind.
Amen.
Emmanuel was fulfilled. Amen.
Amen.
From that day, it didn't end there. Didn't we read this morning, or even just now, that he went up and obtained a name?
Did you hear that?
When he said, I have come in my Father's name and you receive me not.
While he was here, he was using the name of the Father. Amen.
Amen.
That name had to be his name. I have come in my Father's name. Father, glorify thy name.
I have both glorified it again before, and I will glorify it again. What name was there?
And you see, some people say, no, there was this special name. It wasn't always mentioned. There was this special name. Who told you?
It was the same name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's watch something. Headship.
We're going to take a little focus on Abraham before. Let's look at Exodus chapter 6, verse 4. Verse 1 to 3.
I'd like another translation to be read in verse 3, but I'll read in King James. I just want any other different translation to be read. It says, Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go. That's part one. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. To let them go and to drive them. Two things. Amen. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name, singular, of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them.
I want another translation to be read. In verse 3 with them.
American Standard?
Okay, yes.
Verse 3?
Yes.
And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, as God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, I was not known to them.
Still saying the same thing there. Now, there are some translation that says, but by my name, the Lord. Oh, yes. By my name, the Lord, I was not named. Okay. Amen. Now, supposing Abraham, in this statement, the way the denomination of people, sorry if you are one, read the scripture, they do what we say, war and opposite. You say, if it is true, would you say that to the word of God if it is true? The word of God is true. Amen. If you will believe it, not if it is true. Nothing is wrong with God. Something is wrong with my very self and yourself. But with God, He is perfect. His ways are perfect. So now, if Abraham will appear in the days of Moses, maybe just he was allowed to take a visit. And just came, Moses, do you know me? I'm Abraham. And Moses will fall on the ground. My father. How is the land of the dead? Say, it's cool. Say, Jehovah told me, who is that? Who? I mean, the Lord God Almighty. Call him that which I know. Don't call him Jehovah. I don't know that name. The Bible says that, but by my name I was not revealed unto them. Amen. What do we understand there? You see, the word Jehovah is a compound name. Amen. It's actually a compound name because it's translated the Lord. And even in the former time, the Jews never even say Jehovah. They don't mention the name. Amen. So that's how we say Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rapha. So you keep saying, repeating, Jehovah, and then you add something to it. Jehovah, and then you add something to it. Amen. Now, but he appeared unto Abraham as the Lord God Almighty. Remember that Abraham was an idol worshipper before he met God. And he was very keen about his gods, or many gods that they had in Babylon there. And the way God came to introduce himself was, Abraham, whatever you have, I am the Almighty God. And because everyone, you see, everyone that is trying to worship, The moment people who carry idols and follow idols, the moment they know that there is a better one, they go there. Do you know? So, yes, they worship this. I was in Vietnam, and I visited a man who couldn't even get one good meal. But do you know what he showed me in his house? He has different types of gods.
Yeah.
Even had God made of diamond. He will spend all that he labored for to make a diamond god, a gold god, a wooden god, a broom god, whatever. Amen. You understand this? So, now, why is he having so many gods? This one, this god can walk on Monday, but on Tuesday he will die. So, he has to get a god that will survive on Wednesday. But when, yes, Abraham was like this. So, but when God came and said, I am the Almighty God, so we don't need all this. Amen. So he knows he could find refuge. Why? God, amen. In the God-Son relationship, there is an inheritance. Amen.
Amen.
In the God-Son relationship, there is a token of inheritance for us to receive.
Yes.
Now, every covenant without a token of exchange is not pledged. It's not a standing covenant. For example, we go back to marriage, for example. I tell my wife, I want to marry you, and she said, yes, I'll marry you. So she said, we are married. And then she goes to Bombay, and I go to Pretoria in South Africa. And everybody just carrying on the way we want. Hello, are you still married to me? Yes. So there is nothing binding us. Amen. So there is no token of exchange. Now, the token of exchange, yeah, what I mean by token of exchange is when God said to Abraham, as for me, my covenant is with you. Genesis 17. As for me, my covenant is with you. Then he said to him, every male child must be circumcised.
Yes.
And that's what you will do to show that you are in the covenant with me. And I will do this. I will give your inheritance the land. I will give your seed an inheritance, which is the land of Israel. Canaan. So they exchanged. And then I will hold this sign as my security. Abraham had the sign of circumcision as a security, and then God had his word. Amen. As also a security in the life of Abraham. So they exchanged. The same thing. So when David, as a young man, you know, I look at the life of David. Good example. What would make the youngest child be the one exposed to the forest to keep the sheep? When I think about it, I came to the conclusion that those brothers of David must have been half brothers. Amen. Maybe this woman was just an outside woman that was the mother. Because it has not changed. Last borns are always pampered. So how come this last born is kept in the bush? Exposed to wild beasts. Something must have been wrong. Then, one day David said in the Psalms, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Now, do you know why he said that? The father has shared everything. And his name was not there. It's not a proper son. Amen.
Amen.
This land belonged to the firstborn, this horse, this cow, even this dog. They shared everything. And David was left with nothing. So he just looked up and said, well, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Amen. Now, it's not that he owned God. God owned David, and David also owned God. It's a two-way thing. When we say the God of Abraham, it means Abraham's property. Do you know? Yes. So if you say it's your God, that is, there is a relationship. I am inheriting all that he will have to give by his word, and I am giving all that I am to him as a son. So it's a two-way. That's the token of exchange. Just the ring is also another sign. Oh, I'm wearing this. Each time I see this, I remember my wife. I can't look at this and remember my daughter. No, it's my wife, I'll remember. Amen. Nobody should put us on that. No daughter, no son is coming in between us. It's my wife. Amen. And then I gave her something else. So she looked at that, my husband gave this to me. So the token of exchange brings, you know, polish the covenant. Brings the covenant to light. Amen. So we find out that Abraham, being that God had met him and given him the authority or the word, given him his word that he is the Almighty God, Abraham immediately submitted by abandoning all other things that he was doing. And he started walking. God said circumcise, he did circumcision. God said go this way. And now you watch the way Abraham walked with God. And then look at it. And it must type the way you are going to walk with him. And then you are walking with him already. Watch this. Abraham, the Bible says he believed God. The Bible says he didn't doubt God at any time. Are you sure Abraham didn't doubt God? Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, God measures, he is looking at the good parts of you. He's not interested in your wrongs. That's not saying that you should go doing wrong. Right. That proves, if you go doing wrong, that proves you are not of peace.
Right.
But you see, in the walk, why should we have the accuser of brethren if God is the one doing the accusing? He's not accusing anyone. Amen. The Bible says the creature were made subject to vanity, not willingly.
Right.
You talk about false doctrine. Who is that man that you said, I know that this is false doctrine, but I want to believe it anyhow. Which man would do that? What is happening among them? What is happening wherever they are gathering? Whatever they are holding that is making them doing all that they are doing is what they are to have for now. And that is giving you enough space to keep running. Amen. When we look at the falling of other mankind, it puts us in a position to appreciate God that he has opened our eyes to see what we are seeing, and then we move forward as fast as we can. So God working with Abraham on a daily basis. Each time he came to Abraham, he had something to correct him of. Yes. There was a time that you say Abraham never doubted. Abraham brought Ishmael and said, God, I know it's going to be too much for you. Just bless this one. Even after God had overlooked the mistake that he made.
Right.
Sarah came to Abraham. Amen. My husband, this word of God, it can be interpreted in many ways. The woman represents the church. Is that not so? Or it is the prophet that should bring the word to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Not the church discussing the word of God as about how it should be kept. You see, what God means is that he's going to give you a son. Whether son in the afternoon or son in the night, he's still a son. So look at Hagar. Abraham didn't doubt God, but he ran into Hagar immediately. Yes? Amen.
Right.
And the product of that meeting is with us today.
Right.
It's everywhere. They are dragging their particular land. They are interested in this small portion. I've told them, please come to Uganda, there is a space in Karamoja. Looks like the land of Israel. Come and live there. They say, no, we want Jerusalem. Why do they want Jerusalem? Amen. Because of just one thing. But now, what happened? Do you remember that God never told Abraham from the beginning that I will make you father of many nations? It was, I will make you a father of a great nation.
Right.
Now watch this. All witnesses, all eyes watching the relationship of God and Abraham. For you to know that God is not interested in the complaint of people about you, but is interested in how you see it. Yes. What are you making out of it? You don't need to put the name of the Lord to shame. He wants you to recognize the position, that the sonship position. Behold, what manner of love is this that God has bestowed us, has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Angels are not called sons of God. That's why that scripture, until you put that at the back of your mind, you will not really appreciate what the sons of God are, or who the sons of God are. Amen. Abraham, you are going to be the father of a great nation, one great nation. Now here comes Ishmael. And then in the next conference meeting, God just said, you know, Abraham, you are going to be the father of many nations. And then maybe the kingdom of darkness stood up and said, but God, this is not fair. You said, Father, I thought you should be crushing and destroying him and then look for another person. The mistake became his style. From one nation to many nations. And then that did not deter Abraham. Instead, he just said, just keep moving. God did not say, no, come back and rearrange and start afresh. No, from where you stop, there's always a way. I already know that you made this mistake, and I'm making a way for you to go through it. So he went, keep going. All that is important is that you keep going. Amen. And he continued. He got to a time. She's not my wife. She's my sister. He did it in the morning.
Why?
As if we didn't know. Then he did it again in the evening.
Yes.
He repeated it twice. And we thought in the next conference, God will call and say, Abraham is getting too much. In the matter of 2 or 3 minutes, the street established, you done this, you took Agar, you brought Ishmael after the age of 16, that I should bless him. Now you are lying, now you are. It's, no. Amen. The man who lied. He said to the other man who was offended, go and ask him to pray for you. He's a prophet. Sonship! Go and ask him to pray for you. And do you know that? Do you know that the king of what was his name? The king's name. What get his name? Sorry. This king of the Philistines, he knew what the king of Gerar, he knew what was right. If this man had introduced this woman from day one, I am not a dog. I will not think of it. Now, after all said and done that, he had come to know that it is, in fact, it was God that revealed to the man. It was not Abraham that protested. It was God that revealed to the man that it was somebody's wife. Death is before you. Then he took the woman back to return. And you know you're not going to return her empty with all the rights and apologies and all the things you are going to pay, damages that you never damaged. You damaged and paid the damages that you never damaged. And then he paid back. And then he said, let him pray for you. Oh, lying son of God, pray. And he stood before him. He had to. And the man prayed. And God heard. Amen.
Amen.
There's something about the covenant. Amen. I want you to know that the head of Christ is God.
Amen.
Before you can know that the head of Christ is God, you have to understand how the man is the head of the woman. And understanding how the man is the head of the woman is to understand how Christ is the head of the church. It will help you to understand how Christ is the head of the church. The word of God, Christ, is right now in his ministers, that he has his chosen ministers, sure, amen, as the Holy Ghost, amen, to bring the revelation to the body of Christ. Now, anything outside of that will be a waste of time. It doesn't matter how beautiful the thing looks. It doesn't matter how accepted, how good it is, widely accepted it is. It is not of God. So Abraham continued until he passed on to Isaac. He gave the covenant to Isaac. He gave the Isaac came and gave the covenant to Jacob, and Jacob to the 12 sons, and they continued waiting for the promise, waiting until the appearing of the Messiah. Amen. The promise was that in Isaac shall the seed be called. And when the Messiah appeared, unfortunately they rejected him. But these words were left behind. Watch this. Remember that I said there that there was a token of exchange in the relationship between God and Abraham. You know, we are not called the sons of Adam. Is that not so?
Right.
We are called the sons of Abraham by faith.
Right.
How are we the sons of Abraham? By faith. Now, if we are the sons of Abraham by faith, then it means that the same covenant Abraham passed down to Isaac and Jacob must be passed to us.
Right.
Now, the covenant that was passed to Isaac and Jacob was the physical covenant that had a physical token of exchange. Then he passed on to us, who are Abraham's children by faith, a spiritual covenant with a spiritual token of exchange. And then we look at it. In the Old Testament, if a man was a Jew and he was not circumcised, he cannot come into the temple to worship.
Yes.
True?
Yes.
Sure. Then we look at something. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, I am reading from verse 8, and I will stop at verse 12. Are we there? Say amen. Beware, let any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right.
When it was time for God to manifest himself in the flesh, whatever it was, the eternal spirit that manifested out, that issued out the Logos, all was made manifest in a body. And that body was the body of Jesus.
Amen.
And ye are complete in him. The only way we can be complete is to be complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is the spiritual circumcision now. What is it? Buried with him in, let's say it together. One, two, go. Buried with him in
baptism.
Wherein ye also are risen up with him through the faith of the operation of God, which had raised him up from the dead. He was the son of Abraham. True. And he had received the covenant. Watch it. That Jesus said, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Whatever was for to be done when a child was born in the under the law of Israel, he fulfilled it. He left nothing out. And so he left you and I without any excuse. Without any excuse. That we should understand that until the head bears the name, the head is the owner of the name, not the finger, not the leg. The head is the owner of the name. And from the head, the whole body is named.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So the man who died on the road and they brought his finger in, that's a finger. Somebody's finger. No name.
Amen.
But when they see the head, this is, and then you know, this person. Then you give a name to it. It is the remains of this person. Amen.
Amen.
So we see, if the head then is the identity of the body, then the head, whatever the name of the head is what the body should bear.
Right.
So in the beginning, we find that in Genesis chapter 5, that God created the male and female. And he did not call their names Adam and Eve. He called their names Adam.
Right.
So the man was the name. And the woman sourced her name from the man. I was making an illustration in India. We can never outgrow the grace of God in this relationship. That is, however we want to spread, however we want to, whatever we want to do, we know that Christ is the head of every man that comes to him, that God has given to him. Not just every man in the street. The man, those that God have drawn, Christ is their head. So we find out that, let me show you this illustration. There's something about marriage. Many a times we find some women, they just want to be in the forefront and let the husband follow. Yes, you know, I have this counseling where at the time the people complain, oh, we need to be talking to our pastors. Okay, we will have a time of counseling. Then I sit in the office, and then when the women come, when the sisters come, they have one prayer point. Pastor, I just wanted to pray that my husband will change. I understand that. Because when a woman says, I want you to pray that my husband change, it means that let the man do whatever I say. Because now he's doing, he's forcing me to do all he's saying. So let him also do what I'm saying. There should be equal and opposite chance. Amen. So, but look at the marriage, the family is a school. This is the man. This is the woman. And these are the children. So this is a male, female, and a woman. Now, if it is a school, then an unusual thing that happens in the school will happen. This is the head teacher. This one can be one of the staff teacher, but she's also a student. They are under the command of the head teacher. And the head teacher is the identity because he has the name. That was why when Rebecca saw Isaac from afar, she alighted from her lofty position and came down. Whether you are a graduate, whether you are a president, whatever you want to be, the moment you come in face to face with your husband, he is your Lord. As long as you said you accepted it, the woman is born with a choice, just one choice. So whoever you want to throw the choice to, that's yours. So I will explain that. Now watch. In this particular college, everybody is going to graduate. Watch, this young man is got 25. He graduated and he was given the certificate. He went out and he married. This sister wrote her exam, she passed. She graduated, she got married to a brother. This one got up to maybe 23. He graduated, he got married. This student or head teacher, she was looking for graduation. But this time she writes the exam, this man fails. I said, no, you didn't do well. Amen. She keeps failing until the end of time, until death do them pass and part. Amen. That is, the failing means that as long as she continues to fail, the marriage is working. But if she eventually graduates and go out, there is divorce, and God does not want that. Amen. So, whatever, the man keeps the leading position, and the whole of the family is following. The same thing with the Church of Jesus Christ. The church is not to introduce our own message. Amen. You don't need to get deliverance from the world. We can't be delivered from the world. So their wife is not delivered from the husband. And Paul says, as long as he is living, as long as he is living, you are bounded by that covenant.
Right.
Amen. So I find it, let me explain this also. You know,
When two people, I said it's called about young people, the younger ones among us. When two people maybe kind of say they want to get married, at the early stage, you know, there's a lot of pretense going on. I have to say this because we don't all talk spiritual, things also physical also, you know. And a lot of pretense, and the pretense is coming from the young man. Because he wants to do everything to make sure he puts her in this box called the family. So, see, the girl just closes for work, and then, because this early stage puts her in a condition that she gets deceived. She doesn't know the real thing. And she gets out of work, maybe she knocks out, she closes about 3 p.m. and says, hello, David. I'm so tired. Can't go, can you pick me up? Yeah, no problem. Even though he's not confident. He pretends, and he comes around. It's my pleasure. Takes her home. That can continue. Then another said, just so that I didn't carry my money out, don't want money in the post. I just want to eat this. Can you get me this? No problem. He himself maybe doesn't know. Just $20 again. And he does that, and you wait, sister. Then they come to the altar, and the father say, I pronounce you good man and wife. 2 months later, hello, darling. Just getting so tired, I don't know whether. Sister, take the train. The real thing comes. He's got what he wants. He's got you here and you can't graduate. So be careful, my sister. Amen. So there is this relationship, as we're saying, it keeps going. God typing everything to show that we are in its descending. Know that the woman, she has a head. The head is her husband. But the man also has got a head. His head is Christ.
Right.
And Christ also has a head. And his head is God. Now, in this present time, by the things we can see, God in the morning told us he's going to gather all things in Christ Jesus. When time has outlived its course, then there will be another gathering where all things will be in God, and God will be all in all. Is that true? Sure, the Bible says so. So, the physical path of God made manifest to us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have received him this morning as the Word of God. He is. Can't change. And so, when the Word of God comes to us, it comes to make us sons of God. It comes to solidify what we have received, to reaffirm that we are truly sons of God. And then, the immediate thing that will ignite that is that we take his name.
Right.
Because in the Old Testament, when they were not baptized, they were no sons. They were not circumcised, they were no sons of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Now in this place, until we bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and until we preach it boldly, mm-hmm. and begin to tell others who have not done so, and you know that there is a symptom of the Spirit of God in this person, and he must be put right. Because mm-hmm. when that truth has entered into him, forget about it. It's not whether he's coming to church or not. God is the one. Whatever he wants, he doesn't lose it.
Amen.
All things will work in its time beautifully. He will draw the line and put it where it's supposed to be.
Right.
Amen. And then we will appreciate the sonship position.
Amen.
One last thing. He said, at what time has he said to any of the angels, thou art my son? He never said that. The angels are no sons of God.
Correct.
He is master of the angels. He is not father of the angels.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we come to the word Father, then there is a Father because there is a Son.
Right.
Amen. It is the Son that ignites the position of the Father. Maybe if you don't have a son yet, you just got married and then you are waiting. You are a potential father. You are not yet a father yet. But when the son comes, immediately the thing is just automatically you are a father. So that's why he was waiting for that time when he put Adam on earth. He put Adam on earth, and then he gave him the authority to rule, to do the things, because the earth being his footstool, Adam walking was God walking on earth also. Amen. Doing the things that he ought to do. And that's why you see the credit. Adam was not deceived. That's a big credit to him. Adam was not deceived. It was whatever he did, it was from his own judgment that I'm doing this to defend my bride. Amen.
Amen.
So we find out that he had never at any time said to the angels, "Thou art my son." So the angels will not at any time also be called the sons of God.
Right.
But you, sons of God, could be called angels. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. But they cannot be called sons of God. And then Paul hits it hard. Knowing not that the saints shall judge the angels.
Right.
That's why I said the other day, let us not complain of whatever we are passing through. Amen. If you truly know the responsibility that is attached to your office as sons, you've inherited everything. How will you inherit all the blessings and you don't want the problems? Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. What about Abraham's problems? It's a big responsibility. The two will go together.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus was looking at the glory of the cross. Amen. And at those moments that he would be quiet and consider, he also thought about the pain of the cross. The two package must go together. Like the song. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. I love that song. Nobody wants to die. For that, oh no. But even those who will go to heaven while living in this transformation that we are talking about, you're already having your own call. It's hard. Some people say, "Oh Lord, don't tempt me, I'm not Job." You are passing even more than what Job has passed. In the day of Job, things were not like this. He had his own face. You are another face. Amen.
Right.
So we find out that the angels, they maintain their own position. This morning, we had the typing of when Abraham received these three guests. As they are typed also to the angels, they also type also to mankind also. Amen. We talk about the two witnesses. A type. If you look at the scripture, somebody met me in Egypt who actually caused the problem I had there. He said, "You know that Jesus lied." He said, "I'm not aware." So let me show you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 and 28. Lastly, and I didn't want to keep it this long because I know tomorrow is working day. Okay. Matthew 16:27-28. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and his holy angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So he said, you see, he was talking to Peter, James and the rest. They are not here, and it never happened. Amen. Now, do you know why he had the guts to talk like this? Because he had spoken this with many pastors, many denominational pastors. freelance pastors, whatever. And they, after checking and checking, they nodded and went away because they had no answer. Pity. He mentioned names. I wouldn't want to mention the name, but he mentioned names. It was around the pyramid. He had said, I've been coming here for 18 years asking them this question. They never give me an answer. They come here as tourists. Amen. And look at the pyramid. They don't even know what it is. He was saying a lot of things. Amen. But you and I know that it fulfilled 6 days later. The scripture is just there.
Yes.
After 6 days, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John and bringing up them to a high mountain apart and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine like the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. But Moses and Elijah are humans. Ah, they're angels. Simple. They look at the word angel, putting it into some flying creatures instead of the real word that just means messengers. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, he appeared also, when you watch this, look at this, in Zechariah chapter 4, when Zechariah saw the golden candlestick with the two olives, he asked, who be these things? What are these things that stand between on the left hand side and the right hand side?
Right.
He told them that this is, the angel said to him, these are the two anointed ones standing before the God of the whole earth.
Right.
If these are the two anointed ones, where did we have two anointed ones standing before the God of the whole earth? Before the it time also God in person coming down to speak with Abraham. You know, he said, I am going to go to Sodom to see. Did he go to Sodom? Amen. In the physical, he didn't go to Sodom, but he was the last to visit Sodom. Amen. While they were, the two angels were taking Lot out of Sodom, he was going there as the fire. God is a consuming fire. He was the fire that consumed Sodom.
Right.
Amen. So we see that he said, I will go, and he went there, finally. But we'll be waiting. Each time he said, John, tell Israel, this is your God. But when John wanted to say, he said, behold the Lamb. So they were looking for, oh, this is not the person we're waiting for. If it was John, he would say, this is your God. But he is showing us the Lamb. What do we want the Lamb for? And then, in Revelation chapter 11, from verse 3, down he says, these are my two weaknesses. These are the two olive branch, or two olive trees, standing before the God of the whole earth. He repeats it again. So we find out that scriptures get, just keep fulfilling and giving us to appreciate the position of sonship. For you to be a son, you must have a father.
Right.
And that's where headship comes. For you to be a daughter, you must have a father. For you to be a wife, you must have a husband. And the Bible says that Sarah referenced Abraham and called him Lord. Because Lord signifies headship. She had put her trust there. Single trust every woman has got. When you say, I will marry you, you agree, then it ties you. Amen. Sisters are smiling. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We have obtained an inheritance.
Amen.
In Him. Only because we are sons.
Amen.
Not because we are angels. Amen.
Amen.
Only because we are sons. Not because we are children, but because from childhood we attain sonship.
Right.
We obtain inheritance because He has called us His sons.
Right.
And for us to be sons, we have to look at the first son to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is our perfect example. So He is the Son of God, made manifest.
for all eyes to see.
Remember, who shall go for us? And John wept because there was no man in heaven, on earth, to take the book. So where did the man come from? Amen. And the man must be the God man. Not another person. Amen. But clearly, Paul told us in Hebrews, he said that body was prepared. So that body is just contained. Just like you now. For example, I said this, and then if you go and change your face and do plastic surgery, just change your face. And you have a dream that night, that same night, maybe after 1 week, and you change your face, you now start announcing, you introduce yourself, you met me, I don't know that it's you, you just say, oh, my name is Choco. Yeah, okay. Then in the dream, you think you'll be called Choco. It's your phone and your name, the real name that they know you with. That's what you know, and even that your conscience is recognizing that the original.
Right.
It's like telling a lie. Each time you lie, you know, your heart tells you. Say, brother, that was a big one. Because he knows that you have said the wrong thing. When you say, oh, this thing is this, the inside man doesn't tell lies.
Right.
He knows what the truth is. So we are sons because we have a father.
Amen.
Amen. Because God is our father. Amen. And we have attained this sonship and we should appreciate it.
Okay.
Repent, everyone, of the Bible says, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Amen.
Then we can look back and say, but God, why is this happening? I quoted a scripture. John, at his old age, he came and said to the church, said, little children, see that you sin not. But if any man among you sin, know that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for only us, but the sin of the whole world.
Right.
But does the world recognize that? They don't. So, God is not a cheat, neither is he a bully. He puts everything right. But then, he still allows people not to see it, so that they will not come in and be healed. That's where it is.
Right.
He has given us to see. He has given us to know that there is only one way, and that way is Jesus. When Jesus said, I am the way, how will somebody else now think that it can be another way?
Right.
And he's the preacher. And he has a lot of followers. And he doesn't know that he is fulfilling, he's sitting in the place of the Pharisees.
Right.
The Bible says, they said, let us call these men strictly and threaten them never to speak anymore on this name.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord give us grace to be Christians that will bear fruit.
Amen.
And that our fruit will remain.
Amen.
You should remember, he has told us that the tree that does not bear fruit is not because of me.
Yes.
Now when we are privileged to be in this assembly, I must have to tell you, because personally, if I come here to preach, I don't think I have anything to preach here. Amen. My ministry is not to preach to you here, because we, in the eyes of the man, will just be assuming, we are sourcing from your pastor, because God has given the grace in this generation, in this time, to lead the people. Amen. And those who have seen that, we hold it with our two hands, with reasons. We didn't come to see it by the talk of the mouth. It was revealed to us. Not once, not twice. Many revelations. And even when I came down to Singapore, I heard some. Anywhere I go, I keep hearing it. But you know, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think he was very, very popular as you read? Amen. Do you know that Herod didn't know him?
Right.
Are you aware? Herod, the king, didn't know him. So he sought that opportunity, when he found that opportunity,
He wanted to really meet him and say, okay, do some miracles, thinking that he's a magician. Make this, my room, the painting to turn black. That's what the world wants to see. But we are privileged to have been shown this thing. And then, on our part, we must bear fruit. Amen.
Amen.
We must bear fruit. We must know that we have a portion of the ministry to walk in. Amen.
Amen.
To fulfill. You have something that you must do. If it is just prayer, you don't say it is just prayer. You need to pray. If it is evangelizing, it is not late to evangelize. It is not too late to call on somebody. You and I know where we were coming from. And if we have recognized very well where we came from, how God sent His word to bring us out, we should help people. Let it be that it was not meant to be, but let's do our part.
Right.
May the Lord bless us and keep us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'd like to sing a song and then we pray. Amen. In the morning we pray. This evening, I'd like to pray for you. Amen. And really pray for those that are having weakness in the body. Maybe you have any kind of problems. Feel free. Amen. And we just pray to God. But let's take this song. I want to sing Psalm 61. I don't know if you know the song. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, O Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. And when my heart is overwhelmed, O Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh Lord, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter unto me and a strong tower from the enemy. And when my heart is overwhelmed, my Jehovah, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, higher, that is higher than I. And when my heart is overwhelmed, O Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God is higher than I.
Hallelujah.
It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Can you sing that the way you know how to sing
it?
It is well with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well with my soul. Let's sing it.
It is well
with my soul.
Hallelujah.
Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise.
Glory, 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 glory. Blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. Hallelujah.
Blessed you that inhabit the praise of your people.
Amen.
As you come in among us, Lord, let sicknesses and diseases
yes,
be wiped out.
Hallelujah.
Let unbelief and doubt be wiped out. Lord, every heart that is here tonight, is there any soul here that has not identified with the headship, with the name, with the identity, oh Lord?
Wonderful Jesus.
May you look down with favor to this child of yours. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray that your word, O Lord, will not fall by the wayside in their hearts. The Lord, they will receive it on the fourth ground. It will bear fruit in their lives. It will benefit them, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that we want to bear fruit, O Lord. As we live here tonight, may our mindset be affected by the word positively. And we, O Lord, will go out there, Lord Jesus, and drop the message. God is a Father. And He has shown in His relationship with the Son. And you say that eternal life is in the Son. Lord, because the name is in the Son. Lord, we love your name. We pray, Lord, let your name be glorified in our lives. Let your name achieve the purpose in our lives. Let your name be revealed in our lives. Let your name be made manifest in our lives. As many that are discouraged, whatever problem there might have been, whatever misunderstanding, whatever, Lord, we pray that you break the hand of the devil. And Lord, let brethren be reconciled. Let, O Lord, the long lost regained in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you. As many, O Lord, that are oppressed spiritually, O Lord, as many that are depressed, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, you are lifted from that situation. Receive your liberty in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, oh, Father, the Bible says the day you were teaching, the power of God was present to heal. Let the power of God be present here to heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the grace of God this morning. Let His name be glorified. Thank you, Father Lord. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Blessed be your name.
Bishop, brother, nice all these years now, and how the Lord make him to cross our path over here in Singapore is very unusual. You can read about his testimony. And of course, at the moment that... I'm sorry, brother.
I'm not here.
You see, it is a very fact that the moment when he associated with me, he also been shot. And there have been a lot of people out there in the world that there's just so much against the name Richard Gunn, and so... over there in the States, too, brother, don't smile like that. I know that in America, many of them just don't like me. But the fact is that when we bear the truth, we will be attacked. You know, when we bear the truth. So when he crossed my path over here and went back there, he was opposed very badly. But here's a man who took courage to stand for the truth. And with that, bring out some blessing to the people. And if you read the book Really Go, it was not meant to be written, actually. The book Really Go that I wrote was not meant to be. You know, I know what the problem was going there, and I know that this, all the problems in this end time message caused by people who just lock themselves into the books of Brother Branham and make doctrines out of it without an understanding of what the scripture really say. Men who think that they are anointed of God and called of God, and you know, there are dime a dozen. I can tell you that. There are all kinds of preachers out there. Many are not called, I can tell you that. Into anointed for the word exposition, but they do that. They all, you know, try and then they make a mess of everything. And so, you know, I knew what was going on there because I got an email from someone from that brother who came here before, and I was shocked that he was all of a sudden he turned to preach against me because of this strange fellow in Nigeria. They want to make himself the leading apostles and so on and so. He brought about very strange doctrine and condemned my doctrine, preached against my doctrine and all this. And when I heard about it, then I says, well, okay, that's it. And Brother Knight was the one that called me on the phone, "Please, Brother God, please do something." I said, "What can I do? What do you want me to do?" You know, he said, "Write something." I said, "Write what thing?" You know, I read the minister's book. It's just, I mean, so all sort of messed up things. So, you know, I said, "Brother, this thing will be." He said, no, you know, the church are broken up. You know, a lot of there are some churches that follow what we were having here, and but because of this deception, you know, a lot of people just don't realize deception can just come like that if you're not careful with the word. And I said, "Okay, I'll pray about it." And I don't even know what to do. And I just sit and pray. And a couple of days later, the first thing I did when I take out my computer is to type the word, "Really go." That came to my head. And then from there on, the book was written. And was written very fast anyway. And here we have my son helping me. And this Janice here and argue about how to, you know, grammatical structure and construction. Then my son said, "Dad, don't be so sarcastic. We won't sound part of it." But I was trying to be putting a little sarcasm to, because to feedback to, you know, the players of these followers, you know, because I wanted to see how it is like being that thing. And my son said, "No, don't be like that." "Okay, then we won't sound those things." But there was that book then that when it went back, when it went into Nigeria, it actually causes the follower of this man have their eyes open up.
Open, sure.
You know, their eyes were open. And when those children that followed that man and preached those things that man preaches and taught, and you know, the whole church was believing the pastor. But the moment that book went in, you know, Brother Nice and the discussion with them all days, you know, churches crashed. And so the pastor went to shame. They went up, you know, and but I'm glad that Brother Billy Joseph called the wife when he was here, not knowing that he was here. You know, and want him to be the preacher again. But I know that some the people have already laughed him. But nevertheless, the most important thing is that when you make a mistake, you recognize that you have made a mistake, come back to the Word.
Yeah.
Come back to the Word and start again. That's what the prophet Abraham said. When you make a mistake, you go back to that place where you make a mistake.
Yeah.
And correct it and move on. If not, that mistake will roll and roll and roll, get more mistake down. It's like a snowball. Huh? You roll it down the hill, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You're going to crush it. You know, and so God used him on that form. And then he and I went over to Congo, and what do we have? Oh my goodness, I think Congo is a real bad place. It's just for idolatry. People are worshipping man like nothing. You know, have all strange ideas. But when he went on there, we came back. But later on, he went back or something. There was this brother Bitua. You know, he's a big man also, but not as big as the other guy that you described that we went. And the politician and all this that we face in the hotel restaurant, you know, but this brother Bitua is standing firm.
So
and
cool.
Let us pray for him. Let's see, he's the one who tries to translate our books into French, and then the found that somehow the Cameroonian came to know it, and then the Cameroonian read it and they like it, and they are the one now translating it with some Cameroonian in Nigeria who is actually he's a professor. What are you talking about?
Yeah, professor.
Yeah. Now he's checking the grammar translation of the book. You know, and we are getting this book out because you know one thing, the devil hates this truth. The devil wants to bind the people, wants to hold the people in the system. You see, because when you hold the people in the system, and that's the reason why a lot of people don't realize that there is a prison that is very strange. He has no bars. He has no bars. And people are locked up in it. You know what prison that is? Denominationalism. They are locked up in it. And because of the strange influence of spirit that holds them back. Alright? So Brother Nice will be a blessing when he goes over to the Philippines.